ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Canto 1, The Creation, Chapter 18, Parikshit, cursed by a Brahmana boy. Today's verse range is text 11 through 17. And the theme is proper association. Where's our tech man? You don't usually have it up there, or no? Yeah. Or does it? It's not necessary. If everybody has books, we don't need it, right? Yeah. Is everybody okay? All right. Good. Okay. So we usually do the first verse responsibly in the series. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Well, there is a famous verse embedded in this series, so maybe we'll do that. Okay. So text 11. The good sages said, O grave Suta Goswami, may you live many years and have eternal fame. For you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is just like nectar for mortal beings like us. Text 12. We have just begun the performance of this fruit of activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to the many imperfections in our action. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing. This is basically an interlude, like a time out, and in the ongoing lila of Parikshit being cursed, and the sages are just so grateful and thrilled to be in Suta's company because he's giving them such nectar. So here's the famous verse, text 13. So let's see, I'll read the Sanskrit. Tulya malavena pi. Again, tulya malavena pi. Nasvar gang napunar bhavam. Nasvar gamad napunar bhavam. Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya. Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya. Martyanam Kimutashishah. Martyanam Kimutashishah. Tulayamalavinapi. Nasvar gam napunar bhavam. Bhagavat sanghi sanghasya. Martyanam kimuta shashaha. Chant.
Thank you.
Anyone else? To be balanced with Lavena by a moment Api even Na never Svargam heavenly planets Na nor Apunabhavam liberation from matter Bhagavat Sanghi, devotee of the Lord. Sanghasya, of the association. Martyanam, those who are meant for death. Kim, what is there? Uta, to speak of. Ashishaha, worldly benediction. This is Naimisharanya sages speaking to their master Suta Goswami. And if you ever see a compendium of Prabhupada's favorite shlokas, you'll always see this verse in there. Translation, the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Quote, oh, excuse me, repeat, please repeat. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. A full page purport. Who likes to read? Put your hand up. You like to read?
Yeah.
Brennan? That's right. Brennan, right?
Brendan.
Spell it, please.
B-R-A-N-D-O-N.
Brendan. Okay. There's so many similar names. Please, Brendan. Read on, Brandon.
Okay. Thank you. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apunarbhava, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness attained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in heavenly planets are like Phantasmagoria. I've never heard that. Phantasmagoria?
Yeah, it means fantasy.
Oh, okay. And because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasures and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence, namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material, for he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasures can he derive from material benedictions like kingship or other lordships?
Overlordships.
Which are finished quickly with the end of the body. Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from the material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Suta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called Yosit Sangi, or one who is much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavata Sangi, or one who is always in association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable. It is praiseworthy, and one may accept the highest goal of life. It as the highest goal of life. Rather.
Thank you. Prabhu, so you can hear Prabhupada's ecstasy there rising at the end of the purport. Prabhupada frankly said, these are my ecstasies. If you want to know me, then associate with me in these Bhaktivedanta purports. Read my books. So let's finish the series. But that is the signature verse in the series. Because the theme is proper association, and Prabhupada gives us the glimpse there. So I'll just read the verses, and the rest of the series is a few more. Text 14, then we're going to go back. The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Govinda, this is still the sages, is the exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and his transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? And then 15. O Suta Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord which are above all material conception. For we are anxious to receive such messages. 16. O Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who was the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyas, Srila Sukadev. And finally, text 17. Thus, please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga. Let's go back to that signature verse. Text 13, yes. And let's see. Chintamani, can you read? Oh, are you? Like me, huh? Madhaji, you want to? Starting just about six lines up from the bottom of the purport, where it says the materialist is called?
The materialist is called Yosit Sangini, or one who is much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benediction of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavata Sangini, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable. It is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, proper association is the theme, and to help sort of fill out that, because we had a very ecstatic exclamation by the sages about how you can't even compare it. The sages said the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared. And then he lists things that people are mad after. Just like, did that lottery bubble burst yet? It was $500 million. Does anybody know if it's still going? Okay. Well, in the news, there's been a growing lottery pot. It was over the $500 million mark recently. So people are just, you know, although it's more likely you'll be hit by lightning, you know, mathematically, statistically, than you'll win the lottery. Still people are throwing, you know, money into this, hoping against hope they're going to hit the lottery. But statistically also, studies have been done on people who have won the lottery. And they usually squander it because they're nouveau riche. We have a French or bilingue. Nouveau riche means they have the money, but don't have the, you know, the qualification, the culture to back it up. Therefore, they squander it. So this is what happens. You know, people are mad after these things. They're after material prosperity, and then when we get fed up with it, and we just want to, you know, renounce it. You know, both things are madness. It's like walking into a bank and holding up the teller and saying, you know, give me all the money. And then the police come, and then you have the money, and you say, I renounce it. As though it was ever yours in the first place. So that's our situation in the material world. We get born into this world. We get so attached to the objects of the senses. We claim it's mine, this is mine, that's mine. And then when we can't enjoy it, we fail at successfully trying to enjoy these things. And then we say, I renounce. We become big, big juggy. You know, both things are different kinds of madness, actually. The fact is that everything, what is it? Isa vasya vidang sarvam, right? Everything animate and inanimate is owned and controlled by the Lord, Isa Upanishad said. So we simply have to, you know, reject either the material thesis or its antithesis and come to the Isa vasya conception, which is sanity, which everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. And we have to use everything in his service. And then everything becomes yoga, everything becomes bhakti rasa, and we're restored to sanity. I'd like to share with you a counterpoint to this verse, because the sages in Naimisharanya, they were just extolling, being in the presence of a Mahabhagavat, they were so grateful and so blissed out, you know, we say, to use the vernacular, that they were saying these things. Now, here's a counterpoint from CC, where Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, they're having this rasa of, you know, just criticizing each other. So here's Nityananda Prabhu in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, and he's saying, and this is a famous verse, Madhyalila, chapter 12, text 195. Nityananda Prabhu continued, so he's blasting Advaita. You are such a monist, and now I am eating beside you. I do not know how my mind will be affected in this way. Yeah, so this is Leela, can't be imitated. Now the purport, Prabhupada takes the opportunity of this verse to talk about how we have to avoid materialistic association. And so Prabhupada uses, interestingly enough, he uses a piece of a verse from the Gita. Now I'll say the Sanskrit, and you say what you remember from the Gita. If you know, raise your hand if you know what this phrase means. Sangat sanjayate kamak. That's how Prabhupada spins it. But actually, what does the verse say? Sangat sanjayate kama. There's the key word. And from such attachment, that's the way it's translated, lust develops. But Prabhupada does spin it. Or we say in English, a person is known by the company one keeps, right? Because we're tiny creatures, and we just reflect what's around us, and we just pick it up. Okay, so here's the purport. Very telling purport. Sangat sanjayate kama, Gita 2:62. One develops his consciousness, Prabhupada writes, according to society and association. Nobody is an island. No man is an island, they say, and no soul is an island. And even Krishna is not an island. The absolute truth is relational. It's not, you know, it's not that, as the deists would have it, or used to have it, that God just created the world, he said it's spinning, and it's kind of like, good luck. But everything is relational. So even when we talk about the absolute truth, it's not just God, it's Radha Krishna. At their center of existence is this beautiful love affair. You know, it's a relationship. So Prabhupada writes, one develops his consciousness according to society and association. So the environment around us affects us, and then how we associate within that environment. As Srila Nityananda Prabhu admits, a devotee should be very careful when associating with those who are not devotees. When asked by a householder devotee what the behavior of a devotee should be, this is famous, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, anybody raise your hand if you know the Bengali. You know the rest? And then? Stri Sangi Eka Asadhu Krishna Bhakta Ar. And at CC Madhya 2287, Prabhupada writes, a Vaishnava, a devotee, should simply discard, he says, intimate association with non-devotees. And there's the key word, intimate. In his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has described the symptoms of intimate relationships in this way. So this is the symptoms that we must do with, you know, us aspiring devotees. And we shouldn't do with people who are not, well, especially according to, let's see, Bhagavatam 11.2.47, if people are too envious, if they don't want to hear, we shouldn't give them opportunities to offend. We should just, you know, okay, you're not ready. We'll give you time here. So here's how we, here's symptoms of intimate relationships. Rupa Goswami, Upadeshamrita, you're studying NOI. So famous. Let's chant it. Dadati pratigrinati guhyamakyati pritchati bhungte buljayate chaiva shadvidhang priti lakshanam. So there's three sets or pairs of activities that we should do. We should exchange gifts, right? Dadati pratigrinati guhyamakyati pritchati. We should exchange intimate thoughts, confidential thoughts, and bhoja, we should exchange food, prasad. So this is what we do here. This is good, very good. We have a nice working model of this practice here. And then Prabhupada concludes, the words bhungte bhojayate indicate that one should eat with devotees. One should carefully avoid eating food offered by non-devotees. Indeed, a devotee should be very strict in not accepting food from a non-devotee, especially food prepared in, listen to this, restaurants, hotels, airplanes. I was just on 4 planes to come here from Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I was saved from the airfare, that means, you know, the fare meaning the food in this case, by, you know, lots of love from Bhaktivedanta Manor devotees. They gave me lots of nice prasad, you know, which, you know, if you want to beat jet lag, you really shouldn't eat a lot while you're traveling. But between, you know, in connection stops, I did have some nice prasad. Okay, especially airplanes. Srila Nityananda Prabhu's reference in this connection is meant to emphasize that one should avoid eating with mayavadis and covert mayavadis. Covert mayavadis, closet mayavadis. And then listen to this, like the Sahaja Vaishnavs who are materially affected. Okay. So I wanted to go into to how to associate a little bit. Does anybody know from the 11th canto there's verses about symptoms of different classes of devotees? Does anybody know what a Kanishta Adhikari is? Besides Chandrasekhar Acharya Prabhu. Manaji.
The neophyte devotee.
Is it on? Is it on?
Just sees.
Can you turn it on?
That sees the Lord only in the temple. He doesn't see it anywhere else. So it just focuses on worship in the temple.
Yeah, that's a big symptom. Prabhupada says he doesn't know who was who in the devotional line. He only sees God in the temple, which is something. It's a start. But, you know, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he's a devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee, right? So that's the higher vision. I see the Lord in the temple, but that's kind of like my own, it's my tunnel vision, that's all I see. And when I turn around, I see, I'm not so sure about you, or not so sure about you. We tend to be suspicious or even, you know, proud, too proud. It's just me and the deity, you know. So that's Kanishtha. It's very limited. It's very sectarian. Okay, what's the, that's, I think, 11.2.46. There's three verses. Anybody can describe from the Shastra symptoms of a little higher level? Madhyam, middle, intermediate. Raise your hand. Prabhuji.
Madhyam Adhikari, he's more fixed in his faith. He has firm faith, but he may not fully understand all the Shastra conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
So that his faith won't necessarily be shaken when he's speaking to non-devotees, but
mm-hmm.
he won't be able to fully convince them, like
Uttama
Adhikari.
And you know how he relates?
He makes distinctions. He takes instruction from advanced devotees. He makes friends with devotees on a more or less an equal level with him. He's compassionate to the innocent, mm-hmm. and he avoids the inimical. Right,
and this, well, Ishwari Tadadhinesha, he worships the Lord. He's fixed on the Lord.
He's fixed in devotional service to the deity.
Yeah, right. Good. And anybody know the symptoms of Uttam Bhakra? Prabhu, you know? Let's see.
He's a devotee who sees himself as not a devotee and everyone else is such a more elevated devotee is than he, so he's constantly like in a humble state.
Isn't that amazing? He sees everybody serving Krishna but him, even the non-devotees, even the envious, even everybody. Does anybody know a story from the Mahabharata about Dronacharya testing his new students, Duryodhana and Yudhisthira, in this connection about the vision of a Mahabhagavat? That's what we're relating it to. You know this, the Gopal Prabhu.
Was it Yudhisthira and Duryodhana?
Duryodhana, right.
Yeah. Dronacharya asked Yudhisthira to go find somebody who was less qualified than himself.
More qualified, wasn't it?
Yeah, more qualified than himself. And
I guess it was less qualified. I tend to transpose these.
Yeah, I'm getting confused myself. but anyways, Yudhisthira came back and said he couldn't find anybody more advanced than himself. He thought he did, but then he saw
the other
a man
way.
Fasting on the codice or something. And then Duryodhana came back.
He told Duryodhana the same thing, right?
Better than himself.
Right.
And Duryodhana came back and said that he couldn't find anyone.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if we got it straight, but the idea is that Yudhisthira, he was the Mahabhagavat. He couldn't find anybody, you know, lower than himself. So in our case, we're coming, you know, from the material world. So we're just like I was on the last leg of my journey was from Charlotte to Gainesville on U.S. Air. And I was with a bunch of gators, you know, on the flight. And they must have been either, I think they were all ex-jocks or something. And because they were talking about sports, and especially this one guy, he really was vociferous. He was loud. And he would say something, and it was kind of dumb what he was saying. Then he would say, it's all good. You know how people say, it's all good. And it is all good from Krishna's point of view. And we have to ultimately learn how to see through Krishna's eyes, how it's all good. But to say ignorance is all good, no, we don't say that. You know, there's two kinds of happy people, as sometimes said, the fool and the Mahabhagavat. So we're coming from the ship of fools, the ship of the material world, you know, where we've been foolish for so many lives. Now we're being asked to make some distinctions for the sake of our own welfare and for the sake of sharing Krishna consciousness in an appropriate way with people. Now, let's bring it all the way home to Krishna House here. We are in the middle of a major university. How many students at UF? 50,000. That's a major, major, it's like a big, what do they say? They used to say Big Ten. I don't even know if they say these things anymore. Big Ten, or it's like a major university. And Krishna House is right here, you know, right across the street from the university. And it's like an open door policy. And if somebody's sincere, they come. So anyway, in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, he's asking us to reach out here to all the students. So we have to be very friendly. We have to, get to know where people are at. I'll give you an example of where I'm going with this. Srila Prabhupada, 1975, Detroit, Michigan. He's opening Deva Sadan, or how do you say that? Anyway, it's the former Fisher Mansion. In the early days of the auto industry, there was a big player in the auto industry. It was a guy named Lawrence P. Fisher. And when I was a kid growing up, you'd see on the outside of all the cars, Body by Fisher. He was a big guy. You know, all the auto bodies came out of his, from him. So Larry Fisher, Lawrence P. Fisher, he built this beautiful mansion for his wife in the 1920s for $1 million. That's a lot of money today, You multiply it so many times. So long story short, when that came available in the 1970s, and Srila Prabhupada was shown the place, he confided, as he was being given a tour of it by the realtor, that each room of this mansion is worth the price, and the realtor was asking $300,000. And Prabhupada, quietly confided to the devotees that each room is worth the price. So he sat down with the realtor, and as Prabhupada was very bold, and he said, "Sir, we are beggars, we are mendicant. So you should kindly donate this Fisher House to our mission." So the realtor fell off her seat practically. She could. You just don't say these things, right? Prabhupada's asking the lady to donate the mansion, because Prabhupada is bold. He would quote who was it? Sallust, a Roman philosopher. Fortune favors the bold. So he was always doing these things, and he didn't, he was just, yeah. So anyway, I don't think he knew the asking price at that point. I forget all the deals, but long story short, he finally, after they said, "No, we can't do that, I'm sorry," Prabhupada said, "So we'll give you $300,000 cash." And he didn't have it. He didn't have anything, Of course, he did have his disciple Alfred Brush Ford in the wings, Barish Prabhu. And he also had his disciple Lekha Shravanti, Devi Dasi, who was the daughter of famous labor leader Walter Reuther. So they accepted Prabhupada's offer, $300,000. And then Prabhupada, went to Ambarish. And then Ambarish went to Lekha Shravanti because he wanted to know if she could split it with him, because she had inherited her parents' insurance policies, because they were killed in a plane crash under very mysterious circumstances 5 years earlier. That's another story. But anyway, so they got it for $300,000. Now, it took them a long time to renovate the place. Finally, in 75, there was a grand opening of the former Fisher Mansion. And so the devotees, to establish a relationship with the community of the people who knew that place, Ambarish invited people from management side, the Fords, just the management of the auto industry. And then on Lekha Shravanti's side, because her father was, he was like the Gandhi of the American labor movement, super squeaky clean, very austere. And when he went on a diplomatic mission back in the 50s to India on behalf of President Eisenhower, he brought back for the family, he brought back for his daughter, he brought Japa Mala, or no, Tulsi Mala, Kunti Mala, and he brought back little Radha Krishna figurines. It was like a little preview of things to come. Anyway, so Lekha Shravanti invited all these bigwigs from labor, right? So people who would never come, you know, within 100 miles of a Krishna temple were invited to meet the founder of the Hare Krishna movement in Larry Fisher's former mansion. And they were curious as hell about what the Krishnas are doing with Larry Fisher's old mansion. And in Larry Fisher's ballroom, you know, the ballroom was perfectly set up. It was like, there was three places where the three altars are now, you know, and then there was a big ballroom for dancing and a sky above, and the devotees just made it a beautiful temple room. So anyway, so all these big wigs come to the grand opening, and they're invited to come meet Srila Prabhupada. So you can see pictures of this. You see Ambarish and Lekha Shivani, and see all these people, you know, in big gowns and dark suits, sitting on the floor with Srila Prabhupada in his darshan room. So what does Prabhupada do? Here he is. He's in the company of, you know, some of the biggest capitalists who ever walked the face of the earth. And here's what he does. Here's how he associates with them. Here's how he preaches. He starts to put them at ease. He starts talking about his 1925 Buick, which was always breaking down. Because Prabhupada was the crack salesperson of Bose's laboratories. His father got them the job because he knew Mr. Bose, Kartik Chandra Bose. So Prabhupada himself didn't drive, but he had an assistant drive him. He had a servant. He had a driver. And so he just started telling them about this went wrong and that went wrong. And he had these people in stitches because they knew cars. So Prabhupada, to put them at ease, started talking about what they knew. So you can hear this on the recording. Prabhupada's talking this problem, that problem, and they're laughing like anything. And then, at just the right moment, Srila Prabhupada says, "So, this body is like a car." He starts launching into the Upanishadic analogy of the, you know, the horses and the senses, and he just adapts it to the horseless carriage, the automobile. And, you know, it's great. The horsepower is the senses, and the steering, the driving wheel is the mind, and the driver is the intelligence, and the passenger is the soul. And they got it. They got it. Because Prabhupada had the compassion and the patience and the intelligence from Krishna, the Dhammi Buddhi, to go right where they were, you know, in their particular privileged corner of Maya, and lead them by the hand to a very key point. We're not this body. And boy, did they ever get it. It was so instructive. You know, not only they got it, but the devotees, if they were awake and listening, they must have got it. How to share Krishna consciousness in a unique, challenging situation where you're face to face, you know, with these big-time capitalists. But Prabhupada's vision is not that. He's seeing through the covering, right? He's seeing, if you know, sing along. Vidya vanaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva shvapake cha panditak samadarshana. Here's how I taught that verse to my daughter when I was homeschooling her way back in the day. Chandra, here's a verse you'll love. Sing along with me. The humble sages by knowledge true. Want to say?
The humble sages by knowledge true.
With equal vision see me and you.
With equal vision see me and you.
As like a Brahman, a dog and cow.
As like a Brahman, a dog and cow.
An elephant and a dog eater. Wow. That's great, Peter. Let's do it again. So I had to do it too, right? I couldn't, you know, because she couldn't really wrap her mind around, you know, the humble sages with equal vision, you know, like that. So I had to make it fun. Okay, so, proper association. We have to know how to associate properly. And we have to be also at the same time very compassionate. I've only been here a few days, but from what I can see, this is a beautiful example of how to relate to the students. Many of whom you are, from my understanding. I was here 38 years ago as a young man, as a brahmachari, and we used to take the leftover lunch out to the plaza, and we called that the plaza program. And now you've taken that, you know, light years ahead of us into this beautiful, what did we hear the scores? Over 1,100 plates of Krishna Prasad were served yesterday. Woo! Congratulations. Give yourself a hand. Hey! Okay, so the how to associate properly. And Nityananda Prabhu is reminding us how not to associate, and then how to balance that, and how to be compassionate, and how to protect ourselves, because we are aspiring Vaishnavas. You know, purity is the force, and we can only, and utility is the principle. We can only use things, and we can only relate to people as far as we're Krishna conscious. You know, there may be things I can do that you can't do yet, or there may be things you can do because I'm not so practiced. You know, already I'm making a cultural adjustment just coming here from Mayapur, you know, to talk about a radically different cultural scene in Mayapur. And Prabhupada, if you want to read a great purport about how Krishna consciousness has to be introduced according to the time, the country, and the candidates. It's like time, place, and circumstance. You look at C.C. Madhulila, chapter 23, text 105. And it's very good, and it's very challenging, too. Because it's there's no substitute for purity of how to do this. We actually have to become, you know, really purely Krishna conscious, ultimately, to know how to do this. Okay, I'm going to stop speaking, and I'm going to read that signature verse again in the series. And if you have any questions or comments, please raise your hand. The big verse in the series, famous verse, the sages are saying, the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter, and what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, right, like the lottery, which are for those who are meant for death. This is as it is. Questions, comments? Madhaji, or Prabhu, that's how we do it here. I'm coming from a Madhaji space, and now I'm in Gainesville. Prabhu, or I like Prabhvi because it's feminine, but I guess, anyway, whatever. Whatever.